welcome to House of Comments, the best, feistiest female-fronted political podcast in this country, bar none. I'm Charlotte Henry. She's Emma Bernal. How are you?
I'm okay. A bit tired.
Yeah, it does feel like one of those weeks.
I think you've had a worse day than I have, though.
I'm all right. It does feel like one of those weeks, though. So I guess with that in mind, there's only really one story to talk about this week, and it has so many different elements to it. It was a cracking bit of journalism from The Guardian that exposed the revolting comments made by a very big conservative donor about Diane Abbott. I'm actually not going to repeat what they said because it was too revolting, but there's just so many different elements to this. First of all, the revoltingness of the comments and why Diane Abbott seems to be such a lightning rod for those type of comments, because she is, and this has gone on for years.
Well, ever since I've known her, which is since I was 12 years old.
Right. You know, whatever you think of her and her politics, whatever, whatever, she has been a particular lightning rod for particularly revolting racism, misogyny, violent language towards her, and this has gone on for years. There's obviously the element of the money. There is the element of the Conservative Party reaction. And it just brings together so many things that we've talked about really since.
Well, and the reaction to the reaction, which is still rolling on.
Well, quite. It just brings together so many different things that we've talked about, doesn't it?
Yep. It's several different things. It's part of the problems within the Labour Party that, of course, Diane doesn't have the whip.
Yeah, well, I want to come to that.
Complicates matters a bit further. The abuse that she receives, and she gets something like 50% of all online abuse aimed at politicians.
Well, really? Where's that from? That's extraordinary.
That came out a few years ago. But it was a statistic fairly well.
Oh yeah, I don't.
Circulated.
Sadly, I can believe it, but I'm just shocked to hear that number. Yes.
She can be a problematic person, and I speak as someone who's known her, as I say, for most of my life.
Mm-hmm.
My father was her first election agent. And they go through phases of being fond or not of each other, I think. As happens a lot between agents and politicians, let's face it.
Indeed.
That relationship is often tricky. I've had political disagreements with her over the years, particularly with things like sending her children to private school. I've had disagreements about the state of the Labour Party and the anti-Semitism crisis. I thought the letter that went out, I mean, I think I've told you off air my theory about what happened there.
Well, we covered it extensively on the show when it happened.
We did. But it was you know, very wrong.
I think you used even stronger language on the show, but yes, it was a...
Yeah, it was stupid. It was absolutely fucking stupid. I think that the Labour Party needs to come to some sort of ending. We have got all these MPs, and it's not fair on anyone for the investigation process to go on as long as it does.
Justice delayed is justice denied.
Exactly.
But I want to come on to her position in the Labour Party a bit, because we've had a intervention from Deputy Leader Angela Rayner as well, amongst others. We'll come on to that. Let's just break down the Conservative reaction to this, because as I was watching it unfold, first of all, I should say the original piece of journalism was the original scoop was by Rowena Mason, Matthew Weaver and Henry Dyer at The Guardian, so full credit to them for this bit of work. When that first... There's so much about it. Right, you and I have joked and been rude about Rishi Sunak's political instincts for a long time. This was every awful bit of it. Now, let's put away at the side the money for a bit, because that's a bit messy, but let's just talk about the line to take. that very crucial
Well,
thing.
I don't think you can put aside the money from the line to take,
Okay.
because if this guy had only given them 10 grand, they would have given it back.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think £10 million is not coming out of the Conservative Party coffers anytime soon, so they are aware they have to suck it up.
Yeah, so, but we had this, we had ministers sent out on Tuesday morning, didn't we?
Yeah. So they, I think, first of all, there was ministers sent out on Tuesday morning. I think it was the Kevin Hollenrake, the post office minister,
yeah,
was doing the
he
media
did a round.
And it, the line sort of evolved from these comments were wrong to later, but I won't say they're racist.
Right. This is the bit I want to get into, because it took a very long time for people to use racist. I think it took a little bit less time for people to use misogynist, but not, it didn't happen straight away.
No.
Like, it took a long time to call a spade a spade.
Indeed.
And we're not saying Mr. Hester himself is racist. That's a very different thing. But the comments...
Mr. Hester has displayed a lot of racist behaviour. I'm happy to say that.
The comments, these phrases, it's racist language. They were racist. Yeah. And it took a long time for senior Conservatives to say that. It eventually got to the Prime Minister saying that, using the words racist, misogynistic, and so on. The kind of thing that pretty much everyone had worked out. Now, yes, I often have sympathy with the argument, oh, the person has apologised sincerely, let's move on. But there is something about the violence as well in the language.
That's the thing that I think is being under-remarked on. He didn't just say, Diane Abbott, oh, this awful, awful woman makes me hate all black women.
Which would be, frankly, beyond
bad
enough. Beyond bad enough.
Beyond, absolutely. He said that she should be shot. And in a world where that, you know, is not completely unheard of with politicians in this country, you should just shouldn't say things like that.
Right. Yes. We've, Joe Cox, David Amos, we have seen these horrific incidents happen. We saw someone try and get into Parliament, Westminster, into Parliament with a gun, and had members of Parliament, their staff, cowering, not knowing what was going to happen. And a police officer lose their lives outside Westminster trying to stop it from happening. The language and the violence is just appalling.
It's so grim. And this was in a meeting, a professional
right.
setting as well. That's what he's like in a boardroom. What the hell is he like in the pub?
It's just, it was deeply horrifying. And I have to say that the Conservative reaction, it was so messy, because you have to call a spade sometimes. And I guess what they were worried about, which goes back to your original point, was that if they said originally these comments were racist, but we're going to keep the 10 million quid, people were going to be like, well, why do you want 10 million quid from a racist?
Yeah. Well, because 10 million quid is a nice thing to have.
Is a lot of money. Right. But it becomes a very messy question to keep answering, right?
It does. And eventually the free media that the opposition basically are getting because the Conservatives look like a joke again will be worth more than 10 million quid. But that still doesn't mean they want to leave it from their coffers.
No, and they've been bounced. They've had the worst of all worlds again, haven't they? This is what keeps happening. They've had the worst of all things. They've had not, I was going to make a comparison actually to the Kate Middleton picture, and I think it kind of stands up.
I haven't even seen the Kate Middleton picture. This is how little I care.
But my point about it is not caring about the picture, but the point is you've made the worst of a situation, the worst possible thing of a situation, instead of making the best of it, you've put yourself in the worst, done everything so wrong, you put yourself in the worst possible position, because they haven't said, yes, we're giving the money back and it was racist, which people would have at least, I think, seen some honour in that. They haven't gone, it took forever, they had to get bounced into saying it was racist. They had to get, they're still being hounded about the money. And it's been an complete shambles. Talking of which, Sir Lindsay Hoyle, who has not had a great couple of weeks himself, decided not to let Diane Abbott speak at Prime Minister's questions when she was
That was such a mess up on his behalf. Look, I know he's trying to get back in with the Tories at the moment, but come on.
But surely this is not about getting back in with the Tories. I think that's a bit flippant, actually, because he managed to piss off everyone. So it doesn't matter who he's trying to get back in with. It was just, I guess what it was him saying, trying to not sort of bend the rules again.
But it had nothing to do with bending the rules. She was bobbing up and down like they all bloody do at BNP.
Yeah, it wasn't his argument. I'd have to try and stick with people on the order paper first. And it just seemed ridiculous. There was not one of those 650 MPs who would have resented being bumped off their question to let Diane Abbott speak this week.
Well, some of them would.
I really don't think so. I think everyone would have understood.
Lee Anderson?
I think everyone would have understood that that is what needed to be done. It was crazy.
It was such a mistake on his behalf. And he really does seem to be losing his political grip a little bit. But, I mean, not as much as Rishi Sunak, it's just, as you say, they just can't. See, every time they have a crisis like this, they turn it from a one-day story to a 4, 5, 6-day story.
That's it. Bingo. That's it. You've hit the nail on the head with that. I couldn't quite find the phrase to articulate it, but that's exactly right. They couldn't end this by Tuesday lunchtime.
No. And they just seem absolutely incapable of political management and political comms.
Look, it's all very well for us to say, oh, they should hand back, they should say XYZ, they should hand back 10 million quid, whatever, whatever, whatever. And that's easy for us to say, sitting with a cup of tea.
I'm not even saying they should hand back the money, because I don't think they're going to. I don't think they were ever going to make that choice. But you could have communicated not doing so a lot better.
Okay. Yeah.
Apart from anything else, I mean, you could use the argument, somebody said someone thinks something racist, why would we want to give them 10 million quid?
Sure, sure. There's lots of different arguments. We're going to use it to propel an anti-racist agenda. And I think...
Good luck with that, as they say.
Sure. I want to come on to the Labour Party mess, because it's got a bit messy.
But I think there is more to discuss in the Conservative Party mess.
Yes, that's what I want to come on to.
I think that the reason that they are unable to handle these crises, because they do all seem to be around the same sorts of issues.
I think I know what you're going to say.
It's not that they... are racist. It's that they know there is a racist vote out there and they are competing for it.
And I knew that's what you were going to say. And look, that may be true to a lesser or greater extent. That's fine. And obviously one of the first things, and Rishi Sunak's big defence, his big line at Prime Minister's question was obviously about the diversity in his cabinet and like the Conservatives are not racist, look at this cabinet, etc., etc., etc. And I think that is fine. And this is the bit where I'm trying to pick my words very delicately. Because I think it was an amazing moment when the British government first became led by a non-white person. In this, as it turned out, a British Indian.
Yeah.
That was a really amazing moment for this country.
And what was nice is that it didn't feel extraordinary, if you
Correct.
Know what I mean.
Bingo. Absolutely right. But it matters. And it matters that there are so many, a number of senior cabinet ministers and ministries that have been led by Black people, people of Asian descent, all different people. We've had it within these Conservative cabinets. And whether you hate the Conservatives or whatever, that is a fact and they deserve some credit for it. Particularly, frankly, from where they were coming from not all that long ago in terms of diversity. But I think I always hope when people from all sorts of different minorities, including my own, different backgrounds, including my own, get in these positions of power, they're going to use it as a platform to fight that racism and those injustices. And I think I find it really depressing, sad, frustrating, I don't really know, that we've got to this moment of progress of having this diverse government and cabinet led by a British Indian. And we keep getting caught up in rows about this type of subject. And the senior figures in that government took so long to call a spade a spade. In fact, it took Kemi Badenoch tweeting, didn't it? She was the first one, I think, that broke
yes,
rank.
Yes, isn't this the second time she's bounced Sunak into action by tweeting something?
Quite possibly. I can't remember the first instance, but you're probably right. And I just
I think it was about Lee Anderson, actually.
Fine. I just find that a real, as I say, frustration. I don't know. Am I being stupid?
No. I think you're absolutely right. I think in part there may be nervousness at the head of the Conservative Party. I think probably wrongly about, as I say, I think that they know that they're competing for a certain type of vote with certain parties in certain places. And I think they, because they have a British Indian leader, they might be even more nervous about pissing off that particular electorate. Having said that, I think that electorate is slightly, and I use the word advisedly, more sophisticated than that, in that they do tend to differentiate between British Islam, so Muslims, and British Indians, so Hindus. Tends to be more of, or Sikh. So it tends to be more anti-Muslim than it is anti-melanin, if you see what I mean.
That's one way of putting it. And obviously we've had Michael Gove's extremism stuff today, which obviously he talked about the far right as well, but also was talking about Islamism. We don't really have time to get into that, but it's, you know, kind of interesting, all the stuff that's come out from there. And yeah, it was just a disappointment, you know, if there was, it's hard because you and I have had this as women in different parts of our life to a much lesser or greater extent, that, you know, if you're a woman who becomes senior in an organisation, it doesn't matter how insignificant the organisation, you sort of feel like you're a role model for all women and you have to sort all the problem for all women within that organisation. And that's just not possible. It's certainly not possible if you're a British Indian running the country. You can't just, Rishi Sunak can't click his fingers and make racism go away.
No.
But if only.
Indeed. And I wish the Conservative Party had not leaned so heavily towards the Lee Anderson types. But they, you know, they're making a choice.
I basically just...
they've made that choice and then lost Lee Anderson. Once again, speaks to the ineptitude of Rishi Sunak and his operation. But yeah.
I'm not really worried about one dissenting MP. I'm worried about the point that we have. I just would like a bit more stridency when there's against racism, basically. I think that's really what I'm saying.
But I mean, it's not about one MP. It's about one MP who was made deputy chairman of the party. And the ideas that he espouses, and the fact that given that he was made deputy chair of the party, that was a leaning into that agenda.
As I say, I really don't think it's about one MP. If it's about one MP, it's about Diane Abbott. Let's come to the Labour Party, because there is a growing kerfuffle about whether Diane Abbott should get the whip back. As I say, Angela Rayner has now intervened and says she wants the whip restored to Diane Abbott. Again, go back to the top of the show. Let's just remember why Diane Abbott lost the whip. She wrote a letter in which she basically offended everyone. Actually, I would love people to go back and listen to the show we did on that. We spoke to Dave Rich from the CST, and you spoke to about three, wasn't it, different representatives of the traveller community, because Diane Abbott managed to offend multiple communities in one go and did subsequently lose the whip for that. Do you think she should have the whip restored now?
Yes, I do. I mean, I don't think this investigation should have taken a year. I don't think losing the whip always has to be a permanent thing. I think she apologised immediately. Look, again, Diane and I have long had disagreements over the Corbyn years and the anti-Semitism crisis in the Labour Party during those years. On the other hand, she holds a historic role as the first elected black female MP. I would like to see her end that career with more dignity than is currently happening. I think there is a place for her having apologised on the same day. I mean, she didn't quite Rishi Sunak it, which is one thing. But she... I mean, it's incredibly difficult because I also know that other people would see the restoration of Diane as a huge backward step in accepting what happened over anti-Semitism in the Labour Party. And I don't want anyone to think for a moment that I don't accept the depth of that crisis.
No.
I do think that losing the whip for a year is probably a reasonable length of punishment for, as I said, an incredibly appalling mistake.
So I agree with most of what you said, but I don't think she should have the whip back, because I think, look, having said that, I also said, yeah, people apologise and we should all, you know, forgive and move on. And I understand that. And I do believe that. My nervousness about this and my objection to it is I don't think one set of appalling comments compensates for another set of appalling comments.
No, I agree. I'm not arguing that she should have the whip back because of this particular instance of public abuse. There, you know, you could pick any Twitter stream any day of the week and find public abuse aimed at Diane. I'm saying that a year is a sort of reasonable length of punishment.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But of course, we're having this conversation. Now, I totally accept, by the way, you might have had this conversation with me without the abuse, this latest bit of abuse aimed at Diane Abbott. I can actually totally be that you would say that to me. But you also must accept that the reason this conversation has happened, the reason why someone like Angela Rayner is making the intervention she is because of what's happened over the last few days.
Yes, no, that's perfectly reasonable. Diane Abbott has long been a high-profile MP, but her profile has been particularly high in the last few days.
Right.
And there are issues over which that has been raised.
Exactly. And so the reality is, if Keir Starmer just said, yes, this was awful and we're giving Diane Abbott the whip back because she was the subject of racist comments, it sort of says you're okay to say racist things until someone says them about you.
Yeah. If she hadn't apologised immediately and withdrawn the letter, mm-hmm. Then I might have a different opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do. The apology does count for something. I think there's also an issue with her that she sort of feels like a proxy for Corbyn and Corbynism.
Yeah, and I don't think that's particularly fair. In the way that you just said, women can't carry the burden of everything. I don't think asking Diane to carry that burden is fair either.
Yeah.
If you look at the difference in abuse that she gets than, say, John McDonnell or Rebecca Long Bailey even...
Goodness, I'd forgotten about Rebecca Long Bailey.
There you go. A blast from the past, but there you go.
Right.
It really is quite different.
Yeah. Oh, there
and
is.
Then asking her, given that, to then be the proxy for all things Corbyn is I think, a bit of emotional labour too far.
You may well be right, but politically, that's the reality. And that's obviously where the hesitance for Keir Starmer is that this is his balance, isn't it? He wants to, I suspect, given all the things we know about Keir Starmer, on a personal level, he's probably pretty horrified about what's happened over the last few days and would like to be able to support her.
Yeah, I think he did try to talk to her,
yes,
by reports. She was classic Diane. God love her. There's a wonderful story about her when she was campaigning to be Labour leader. I don't know how apocryphal this is, but having known her, as I say, for most of my life, I completely believe the story.
Too good to check.
When she was running for Labour leader, she was in the in a lift with an MP who sort of jovially said to her, "Aren't you going to ask me for my vote then?" And she said, "I haven't spoken to you in the last however many years we've served together. I don't see why I should start now."
Very good. I suppose we've covered all the different angles of that. I knew that there is a lot to do to cover with it. We'll see what happens by the time we're back on air. There's a couple of things to wrap up before we leave for this week. First of all, the prize for screwing Emma and Charlotte over this week goes to Theresa May. Thank you very much for standing down just as we published the last week's show.
Every week
someone does this. Over this week it was the former Prime Minister, so thank you very much. Just before we go, as I understand it, MPs have voted through a pay rise of to take them to £91,000 a year, which is, well, let's be clear. The MPs have been awarded a pay rise of £91,346 by the Independent Parliamentary Standards Authority. I'm being a bit disingenuous to say that they're being paid. It's a 5.5% increase that will come in from April. Do you have a problem with this?
Not particularly, no.
I
think being an MP is a horrible, shitty job. You work incredibly long hours. You get no time to yourself because even when you're back in the constituency, you can't just pop into Tesco's for a bag of crisps.
When you can, but three people will stop you on the way.
Exactly.
Through.
You're never really off duty. And I think if we believe in democracy, as apparently anyone who's not an extremist does, then we should pay for people to do it. I tell you what's more of a bloody scandal is how little council leaders are paid and how they no longer have access to pensions. That's an absolutely terrible thing.
Maybe we should dive into that as we head to the local elections. But let's talk about MPs' pay, which is, I basically agree with you. I think if you tried to divide MPs' pay and work it out by hour, they're probably not getting minimum wage. So,
I mean, they do work insane hours. And 7 days a week.
I've always subscribed to the argument. People have gone, oh, they earn too much. They're, you know, blah, 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 blah. They're not, how can they relate to us when they earn X, Y, Z? I have always felt, I've always basically subscribed to the argument that if you want the best, you have to pay for it. And
yeah, I mean, well, to be fair, £91,000 would be nothing in the city.
Sure, but you have to.
Cleaners have barely paid that.
And you're absolutely right that there are plenty of professions that plenty of MPs could do and do come from in which they earn more than £91,000. But you have to at least make it.
But
compelling.
I think you need to make the salary reasonably attractive.
Exactly.
The problem actually is not the salary so much as the period between getting selected and getting elected. Because nobody has any financial support during that period, which is why so many of them are sponsored by the unions on the left or a sort of independently wealthy on the right, because they have to be.
I've at very low level have campaigned for the council and the London Assembly, and you have to fit that in with your job. It's an absolute slog. And if you tried to be a full-time candidate, you'd have no money.
No, exactly. And it's, I know a lot of PPCs and, some of them go through real hardship when they're in that period.
And that 91 grand may sound really, really nice, but if you've got yourself into a load of debt in the first place, because that's the only way you can live.
Plus, we should also remember, and I know there are expenses, which is a separate issue, but also MPs do have to live in two different places mostly. And so, you know, that has to be taken into account as well when you're talking about their pay, when you're talking about remuneration and expenses. And I do think it all matters. And I also feel that actually the backlash to pay, and I bet you we see a backlash to this when people see it's a 5.5% increase, pretty decent salary number for a lot of people. That we have to move beyond this anti-politics thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have to, if we want a functioning, strong democracy, you have to respect the people who are part of it. All of us are part of a democracy. But we have a representative democracy. You have to support those people. They have to be paid, quote unquote, properly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, do I respect all of them? No, of course not.
No.
I don't. But I respect them in sort of
the principle of it.
The principle of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, there we go. Having ended on such a positive note, remind people where you can be. People can keep up with you.
You can read my newsletter on Substack, Hard Thinking on the Soft Left, and I'm on all the social media channels at @EmmaBurnell_.
I'm @ Charlotte A. Henry across social media. And if you head over to theaddition.net, you can read blog posts there. You can sign up to my newsletter there. And I would very much love you to do so. What we'd also really love you to do is head over to patreon.com/houseofcommentspodcast. Sadly, no one is paying us 91 grand to make this show, but you can support it by heading over to patreon.com/houseofcommentspodcast and support us for just a fiver a month. And it makes a huge, huge difference. And we'll be doing some exclusive audio content, and maybe we were talking about doing some live streams and all sorts of fun stuff over there. So please head.
We could do an AMA. I did an AMA on Reddit. It was fun. Yeah, I was surprised how fun it was, actually. It was a lot more. I was always a bit terrified of Reddit, so I was surprised that it was as nice as it was.
Very good. Yeah, we'll do all sorts of fun things, but we'll head over there and give it a go. Also, we're on the Twitters at House of Comments Podcast, and we would love you to share the show with people you think would like it. Give us a decent rating over in your podcast app as well. Hope that's not too much to ask. And we'll see you next week.